We're back with the Where Eagles Dare podcast. Going live on YouTube, Twitch, and Facebook Live. But if you're not listening to us or watching us live on the live stream, you can always catch us on your favorite podcast provider, whether that is Amazon Music, Spotify, Podcaster, Apple Podcasts, Castro, all of them out there. We're everywhere. So Lee and Tubby, we are glad to be back, although it kind of the COVID thing kind of screwed up our schedule. But it didn't screw up the Eagles that much. We'll talk about it here in a second after we let the music play. And if you hear the song, you know that it was an Eagles victory. So we're stoked about that. It's nice to get another win, but this one was a crazy one. Mainly, dude, because of the COVID stuff. It's like, all right, but before we get into the game itself, the COVID thing was, the NFL decided in its infinite wisdom that because nearly half of the Washington football team players were infected with COVID, let's delay this game 2 days because that's going to really make a difference. And so what they did was they basically have upended the NFL schedule for the four teams that got their games pushed to Tuesday. They've really just jacked everything up, and they've really not avoided anything, because if you watched any of those four games, only a couple people were able to come off the COVID list to play. And what cracked me up was all the reports were that Montez Sweat for Washington was the one who started the outbreak, and he's unvaccinated in their, brings in their locker room, infects everybody. He comes off the COVID roster. He's one of the few that could actually get to play in this game. I was, when this came out, because we did our preview last week, and then it all came out that they were going to delay it. I know, we texted back and forth. I was furious. I was like, this makes absolutely no sense. Maybe a week delay, if maybe you just stop football for a week and say, hey, we got a whole bunch of teams with COVID. Let's push the season back a week or whatever. But 2 days, come on, Goodell, what are you doing? I just don't get it. What's your take on it?
Now, I was surprised that the game was going on. Remember, I texted you when they had lost a lot of players. I was like, man, I'm surprised that the game is still on. Mind you, it's all still a money sport, too. You got betting lines. You got a lot of other things riding on the game. You know, as the fans, we just want to see the game, you know, and that's we have an edge. Of course, we want to play the game. But just from if you're having an outbreak on that team in general, you don't really know how far it really went. So I don't know if they postponed it a few days to see what was the worst of it. But yeah, it was funny that Montez Sweat came back, of all people, you know, a few people that they did. I think they got McLaurin back as well, too. I think he was on the COVID list. Right. I think he was supposed to play. They got McLaurin back. They got a few of their guys back. Ricky Seals, he was able to play. So they had some guys. We lost Landon Dickerson
and due Dillard. To
it. So and Dillard. So it cost us two linemen, and they got a couple guys back. So that was a little bit weird, definitely. They definitely got the edge, you know, by getting some of their guys back in those two. But, yeah, it is what it is, man. I don't think it was necessarily a bad call, but because I just don't know what it's like to make that decision. I think they were down like 30-something players on their active roster.
I get
so how can you play a full game? It's hard. So many positions in the NFL, right? Offense, defense, special teams, and they didn't even count the coaching staff. So I can see it both ways. Maybe they need time to even get some players. But from an Eagles perspective, yeah, it hurts us. It pushes us back because we're trying to make the playoffs.
Well, you have two ways of going about it, and this is where I got angry about the whole situation, was 2 days is meaningless to me. As far as the grand scheme of thing, all it does is jack up the roster. If you wanted to postpone all the games for a week and just shut down because of COVID, just 1 week, I know that the revenue is going to be made back because those games are going to get played. But two days is all it does is jack up the schedule. You look at what the NHL did recently, where they had a bunch of teams go down. They've just shut down. I mean, if you look at the NHL schedule, they just shut down and they said, hey, we're going to shut down. Let these guys get better, and then we're not going to play in the Olympics, which kind of sucks for the Olympics fans that want to watch the pro players play. That sucks. But they're going to make the games up later on down the road. So to me, it was the idea of the players' union getting a hold of Goodell and saying, "Hey, we got to give these guys a chance to play."
Right.
And Goodell making the snap decision to just go, "Okay, let's take these four games or whatever." It was two really, but they did move the other one, the LA or the Las Vegas and the Cleveland game as well. And let's move them down the road. And Las Vegas, Cleveland, one day. I mean, come on. I mean, Cleveland still couldn't field the team. It's just, it seems like it was just lip service. It seemed like it was more just a courtesy. And and now, like I say, of course, we've got Landon Dickerson down with COVID. We don't know when he'll be back. We got Dillard down with COVID. And now Nick Sirianni was announced today. Our coach is now down with COVID. So he may or may not be on the sidelines this Sunday against the Giants. Mm-hmm. If this starts ripping through our team because we played a COVID-riddled team and we end up with the same situation as Washington come Sunday when we're trying to get into the playoffs and we've got to play at home against it and say we've got 20 guys out, do you think that the NFL is going to postpone the game for us? I doubt it. I just doubt it from the way they treat the Lurie and the Eagles. Dan Snyder has much more clout than Jeffrey Lurie does in the eyes of Roger Goodell, in my opinion. So yeah, it's frustrating.
Yeah, I hear you, man. NHL has a history of outbreaks, like the measles and whatnot. So I know they definitely know what an outbreak is like and how it can kind of spread. But you know, because basketball, you know, they postponed a few games too. I think the Pistons shut it down for two games, and now they're back because we're talking about a 12, 13 man roster. Right. So if five guys go out, that is a health and safety thing, you know, even not even just, you know, our American sports, even Chelsea. I mean, they've been dealing with COVID. We have three of our top guys out with COVID and it just hit us like, boom, you know, Thomas Tuchel, our coach, you know, he didn't agree to play in that last game. Really, I think it was against some game in the middle of the week.
Was it Wolverhampton? Wasn't it? Yeah. Wolverhampton.
Yeah. It was the Wolves. Yep. Against the Wolves. He didn't want to really, and you can tell by the lineup when it starts. I was like, why is he playing this line? Like, where are our guys at? And I'm just now finding out that some of our top guys were out. So it's happening all over, man. I think Barcelona played the game with no fans. Or was that Bayern? Maybe it have been Bayern. It was like Bayern Barca. Yeah, actually Bayern versus Barca in Bayern. No fans there, you know? So there's a lot of places making some changes, man. We're just going to have to deal with it as it comes. But to answer your question, do I think they would do it for the Eagles? I'm just not sure. I think if our quarterback core was decimated, like theirs were, they had to find a quarterback. I mean, these guys literally had nobody.
I know.
So that's wild, man.
And you heard the story.
I hope we never get into that situation.
Did you hear the story how Garrett Gilbert got notified? He was giving his kid a bath. And his wife was like, "You have got like 29 missed calls."
Really?
From Washington, they were trying desperately to get a hold of him because they before they even notified him, they put him on the practice squad so that they could bring him off and then he could start. And it was like he didn't even know he was on the active roster. And he had to catch an emergency flight. So and he had a pretty good game against the Eagles, and we'll get to that in a minute. But yeah, like you said, all the sports are dealing with it. Like we saw Premier League, NHL, NBA, they're all dealing with it a little bit differently. Premier League in soccer, they're dealing with it raw. They're basically because Liverpool, who I'm a fan of, they had three guys out for their last game against Tottenham, and they were just like tough. And they're that's the way the Premier League is like, look, you know the deal. You're going to miss a game. They're going to miss a game. You're going to lose a game. You're going to lose a game. Have your guys get through it and do your best. And that's raw. But Premier League is like, we're not altering the schedule. We're not shutting down. And so you got to take either that stance. You either got to say, hey, look, we're going to shut down for a week or two, or we're going to just say, hey, you're just going to have to play with what you got. I would have been more inclined to one of those two things, not a two-day delay. All said and done, Eagles won the game 27-17, which we're very happy about. And that's good going forward. But it's like now we've got to play the Giants, who just beat us not too long ago. You know, we got to play them on a short week. And while they have time to prepare, and they're bad enough as it is, but you don't want to give any team extra time to prepare. But talking about the Eagles game, I want to thank you for talking me off the ledge early, because I'm going to explain why I was going off on the text to you that night during the game. So here's the situation again, COVID screwing everything up. Mm-hmm. I have the game. I have Sunday Ticket through a streaming service through my Roku, and they show all the games. And so then these were pushed back. I was guaranteed, hey, you're going to get one game locally on your Fox affiliate, and then you're going to get the other game on Sunday Ticket. Dayton, right. The local Dayton affiliate was supposed to be showing the Eagles in Washington. That was what the NFL had authorized. In their infinite wisdom, they decided they were going to show the Rams in Seattle instead. What that did was DirecTV assumed that we were getting Eagles in Washington because that's what the NFL had authorized. They blacked it out. So now I've got Seattle and the Rams on both my DirecTV and on my Hulu, and I can't get the Eagles. I was losing my mind when that started, when the game started. And I saw it coming. I'm like, wait a minute. They got that. DirecTV says this is blacked out. Uh-oh. Now, luckily, I found it on my phone, on just the NFL Network app on my phone. Couldn't get the NFL Network app to work on my Roku, but otherwise. Anyway, so I was already in a bad mood. And then we get the initial play to Goddard with the drop pass, which was just, again, he dropped two bad ones. Made some great catches, so we'll forgive him. But, man, that could have been really bad. Hits off his ankle. Landon Collins picks it off, and then that leads to a touchdown. And then Hurts does the thing we've seen him do when he gets confused and scrambling. We've seen this a lot. We've talked about, you know, what is he doing sometimes when he is scrambling in the pocket when he doesn't just take off and run? When he decides, hey, I'm gonna move around and maybe throw, and he usually ends up bad. If he doesn't take off and run when he starts scrambling, it usually ends up bad. And then he gets stripped. Balls run back again, Collins again. And I was losing it. I sent you a text. I said, I was furious. I was like, I'm about done with this Hurts guy. You know, I wasn't going to say bring in Minshew because I don't believe that that's the answer either. We've talked about that. You know how I feel about that. But, man, I was just mad. And you came back with, you know what? It's a little early for that. I'm going to ride out my team or ride out my quarterback and just let it go. And I was like a million things I wanted to say. I was like, oh, I'm just tired. I'm angry at not being able to get the game on my TV. We're down 10-0 all of a sudden. And I'm just like, if we lose this game to a team that is decimated by COVID, how embarrassing is that going to be? And then there goes any shot at playoffs. Not like we're going to do anything in the playoffs yet, but you never know. You want to get there anyway if you're a true fan. So, yeah, I want to thank you. for talking me down, because from that moment on, I went into a zen moment. The only thing that flared me up was when Jonathan Gannon went into the prevent in the second half. That blew my mind. But yeah, after that, you know, the Eagles didn't say quit, and then Goddard came up with some really good catches on the next drive. Sanders and Howard, what a freaking tandem. We've always said, well, we get these two guys on the field at the same time.
Right.
What they could do. Devontae Smith had the beautiful toe tapper catch that you know, right before the fumble, but it was still a great catch. So there was some great plays being made on the field, and the Eagles, you know, got back into it, able to tie it right before the half, and then they dominated the second half, except for like one Washington drive.
Yeah, man, I was you know, the start of the game, you know, they just looked better in general. They just kind of looked ready to play. Their line, you know, they were able to run the ball from the start. I like the zip that Hurts had on a lot of his passes. I thought he made the decisions way quicker. Just got the ball out, you know. Besides the three major drops to Goddard and the one to, I don't know if it was Rager or Gainwell, that little screen that just kind of went right off his hands. Yeah. Gainwell. Yeah. You know, you take those two away. The only really bad ball, and I don't even know that this was a bad ball. I think Jalen Hurts had a really good night. The ball to Smith in the middle of the field, I still thought Smith could have made a better attempt at that. I'm thinking that the ball's in the air about 30, 35 yards, and you still can't track it. It bounces about 5 yards. You know, I'm not saying it was on target, but the safety is on your inside, so that ball is thrown to the proper side. It's thrown away from the safety. So I just couldn't see how Smith didn't make a better play on that ball. I know it, you know, when you want the ball to come right to you. I thought he could have made a better play on it, like McLaurin did when the ball was a little bit underthrown. He comes back, makes a play. So that is one thing I want to see a little bit more from Smith is, I mean, I know he makes the toe tap and catch, but there's some of those harder physical plays. I want to kind of see him, man. He's small, man. even on that third and one that led to the Goddard, even on that stay with the first drive with Smith, you know, the ball's thrown right out, a little quick out, 5 yard quick out to Smith. He doesn't even try to get the first down. First down's right there, bro. Just and then we have the third and one to the, you know, it was a beautiful play call. The play came off perfect, executed perfectly right to Goddard. It was executed so well. Goddard knew he was off and running, but you gotta have the football first.
Yeah.
The football first.
Yeah.
So a couple plays, man. He got ahead of himself on that game. But overall, definitely, man, I thought they had a lot of zip on that. And in the second drive, you know, I didn't think it was a matter of I just think he got tricked. I think he tried to go forward and he looked to his right. There's a guy. He goes forward. There's a guy. He could have dumped it off a little bit early, but the strip, I'm like, eh, because it's 7 minutes. It's 7 minutes to go in the first quarter. So I'm like, you know, this guy hasn't played in 23 days. I go in with certain expectations. Okay, I may expect a certain mistakes early on. I go in with this mindset. Just, I don't know if it's just been playing sports my whole life. That's kind of how I, you know, prepare for it. Kind of like I'm Jalen Hurts himself. You know, just kind of going to what is he going through right now. I'm like, all right, this guy's been off 23 days. He's on a hurt ankle. He's not moving as well as he normally. He's not 100%. You could tell that the whole game. He was not 100% on that ankle. That was a true high ankle sprain. And maybe he should have sat that game out, but he didn't. He played well, and they did bounce back after that turnover. I think the next drive, Mailata has that big hold. Yeah, so the first three drives, we took points away from ourselves with the Goddard pass. That could have went for about another 20, 30 yards or so. Yeah. The Hurts fumble, we're right there in scoring position. And then that Mailata just inexplicable. I don't even know why you even make that bear hug. All you do is push the guy with one arm. You're the biggest guy on the field, man. It's no need to bear hug a guy. So those first three drives, we hurt ourselves in every way, you know, every way. And then I thought we bounced back really well from that.
I think you're right. I think that, you know, chalk it up. One of the things you said to me over the text, it was like, look, it's bye week rust. You know, something of that nature, what you said to me. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'll give him a little slack. And that's what it was for Goddard. You know, after those two where he didn't look the pass in, and Goddard doesn't normally do that. Again, not in game shape. They're in practice shape. But that catch that Goddard made later on in the game when he was into double coverage and he pulled back, it was a thing of beauty. And the guy had, let's take a quick look at the stats. The guy had 133 yards. Receiving 135. He had seven catches for 135 yards, and they had that 45-yard pass. They're really between two defenders. What I really liked about Hurts, again, I know you talk about Hurts. He was 20 of 26, and three of those were drops for a 76 completion percentage and 296 yards just passing alone. And then he had 38 yards on the ground. So great day for Hurts. One of his best of the year, 110 quarterback rating. But, you know, he was what I wanted to say that I really appreciated about Hurts was that pass, he threw it up to Goddard. And he did that more than once where he trusted his receivers. Something we haven't seen out of Hurts that much this year, where he's not worried about the INTs. He's going to trust these guys to make a play. Again, the game winning touchdown when they're up 20-17 to Greg Ward in the end zone. Greg Ward's not turned around to make that play. In fact, the defensive player is got his back to Hurts. He almost throws through the defensive player. It was only one place it could go.
He threw him open.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, they're tangled up. He literally threw the ball. I mean, I think Dan Orlowski called it a seed. I mean, he threw the ball. It is a back shoulder throw. It just had a lot of zip on it. Yeah. A lot of those guys know. That's a back shoulder throw. Most of them are lobbed when you have bigger receivers, but when you have smaller receivers, it has to come out like that. And I thought Ward saw the ball, made the separation, and snagged it, man. I thought it was a good pitch and catch from both of those guys, man. And it was a missile, man.
Yeah, it was.
Hurts had a lot of zip on that ball. And that's why I really appreciate it. And in a rainy night, too. This is all during the rain is steady falling. And he's still making those passes to Goddard in those intermediate throws that we talked about. But I thought the biggest keys for Hurts for this game was basically, man, like I've been talking about all year, when you don't ask your quarterback to run the ball 20 times and you're constantly changing his eye level on the field. You had 8 carries. 2 of them were quarterback sneaks for touchdowns.
Right.
Right. So you really only have 6 runs. 6 runs, and they were 6 runs that we needed. When he ran, it was effective, and we didn't have a lot of plays where Hurts is just getting hit for no reason. And I think that attributed, I mean, along with having a running game, that I think that attributed to the passing game, man. Just that the simple play call and the play actions, none of the crazy RPOs, none of the options, you know. I think having his hurt ankle kept him in the pocket, and he was able to just focus on him distributing the ball, not the, oh, I can do this as well too. So I thought this was the play calling that we needed for Hurts. Been asking for it all year, right, to stop gassing your quarterback to get hit 20 times. He only gets hit 8, and these are the results, you know. Decimated, but they still had good guys out there, you know, on Washington, and they're still a well-coached football team in Ron Rivera.
Right. So, right. Yeah, man. And you know, you bring up a point there, and that's exactly what I was getting ready to say. A lot of people talk about this as the B squad for Washington because of the COVID thing, but they did get up. Their defense wasn't as decimated as their offense. Their defense had some key guys out there playing for them. So, and this is still a very good defense in the NFL. And it was a very explosive night, especially in the second half for the Eagles. No points in the first quarter. Now, you take away that ball, fluke ball hitting off of Goddard's ankle and been leading to a touchdown, and you take away the Hurts fumble. They actually leave the Hurts fumble. That was only 3 points.
3 points.
They only ended up coming away with maybe 14 points in that game, and it would 27-14 or even worse. Who knows if Goddard makes the other catch. So, again, after you worked out that rust, it was complete domination. Mm-hmm. One of the things I'll give kudos to, because we did, you know, talk about Mailata, had a couple of bad calls, but overall, the offensive line, even with Dickerson out and Opetta in there, of all people, they were pushing people around. I saw a tweet today by Chris Long, the beloved Chris Long of the Eagles, love that guy, spirit animal, crazy son. Anyway, he tweeted today that he changed his profile pic to the fastest center in the league, and he had a picture of Jason Kelce up there. And it's true. There was a couple of plays to Sanders where Kelce had to pull, and he was gone. He was gone down the field. And there was a one where he had clearly had the block on the defender that was trying to tackle Sanders, and Sanders went around him and got tackled by the defender. Kelce got mad. He's like, dude, follow my block. Yeah.
But 35 was on his left, too. Yeah, a lot of people misread that. I did see that. It was definitely a meme. He was trending today off of that. First of all, Kelce, put your hands on him. He didn't know. He still didn't block the guy. He was right in front of you. But 30, if he cuts back to his left, 35 is right there. Right. It wasn't as open, just like that Goddard play. I actually thought Goddard had nobody behind him, but he actually did have a safety over the top. Right. So it went for a longer play, but yeah, man, it was some good plays, man. Hell of a plays in there. We still don't have a return game.
No.
By the way, I'm just go ahead and throw that out there. Get that out the way.
I will say Rager did out. He outcatched Rager outcatched Devontae Smith, 57. They both had 3 receptions, but Rager had 57 yards and Devontae 40, which, you know, still not great, but it's better than what we normally get out of Rager. Yeah. And nothing whatsoever. We even saw Gainwell on some punt returns. So I was like, I texted you. I was like, hey, we got a Gainwell sighting out there. So, you know, it is what it is. We're just going to have to see how that goes. We really need a return game. But speaking of real quick of Sanders and Howard, what a great day. Sanders, 131 yards on the ground. Howard 69, and then Hurts again 38. So again, over 175 yards for what, the 7th straight game. So we'll talk about that more later. But yeah, it was a great day. The only thing that, like I said, really ruffled my feathers about this game at the end was Gannon's bend but don't break against Garrett Gilbert. I mean, if you look at his numbers, 20 of 31 or 64% completion rate, which for this guy who wasn't even practicing on Thursday, there is no way this guy should have had close to 200 yards passing. I'm sorry. And there were moments in that game where he was comfortable. He was comfortable and in a rhythm. And it was because they were only rushing 4, dropping everybody 10 yards off the ball. So I thought the front 4 did a really good job of getting to him, to Gilbert, quite a bit. Just the front 4, even when they didn't blitz. But what I noticed was because the Eagles defenders were so far off the ball, he had escape valves everywhere. So even though our rush is getting to him, guys are wide open all over the field, and it's not the DBs. I hope people understand it. It's not our defensive backs that are leaving these guys wide open. It's our defensive coordinator, because these guys can play. I know that catch in McLaurin. McLaurin made the catch, but Slay was right on him. And all night long, Slay was on McLaurin, knocking stuff down. So McLaurin, other than that big play, if you look at what he had, was he had 2 receptions for 51 yards. And that's Slay right there. That's what
and
he
most
did.
Most of that was on that 46
exactly. yarder. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, the 46 yarder and Slay was there in coverage. It just messed it up. So we've talked a lot about Gannon's defense. My problem is going forward is if he doesn't stop this, I don't care if you don't blitz, but at least play your guys up a little bit more. So if you're going to trust the front four to get to the quarterback, give the defensive backs an opportunity to make a play. Stop putting everything in front of them, because what you're doing is you're giving a quarterback an out. And you let Garrett Gilbert, when I hear the announcers in that game talking about, wow, Garrett Gilbert, look at him. He comes right off the thing, off the practice squad, and he's throwing 64% of his passes. I'm like, yes. Do you see what defense he's passing against? There's nobody in the middle of the field. They're 10 yards back. He has the entire field to throw at his disposal. And the one thing that did win the game for the Eagles was, like I said, right before the half, Fletcher Cox gets a sack that keeps him from getting points, because they had a great kick return, and then they had a great play to Seals Jones, get him over midfield, and then Fletch just took him out, and then that was the end of the half. And then at the end of the game, you know, that we got that front four pressure, got in there. If they don't get in there, and I think against any other quality quarterback, we're going to be in trouble come playoff time if we make the playoffs. We can't play like this against good teams. We can't do it. And it just really, I know it's going to get my blood pressure up.
For a team that is running the ball as well as the Eagles are, there's no way the game should be as close as they are, because we can control the clock now. It was a problem that earlier in the season. It's like, you know, Sirianni has learned, or Getchen, or Stetchen.
Right.
He's learned. Well, I think the person that hasn't learned yet is Gannon. He hasn't made the biggest change. We've seen changes from the head coach. Sirianni still makes a lot of rookie coaching mistakes, because he is a rookie. And like I said, Stetchen, you know, sticking to that run game, everybody keying in on it, and knowing that, hey, your line is built to run. The reason why you see Kelce in those highlights, because you also have Lane Johnson pulling. That's a really big tackle that can get out there and get on you as well, too. So you have Mailata, you have Kelce, and you have Johnson. You know, those guys, man. So I don't know if you heard, they said, man, could anybody play guard for the Philadelphia Eagles? Because when Kelce is in, Mailata's in. It's like that our core linemen. And mind you, we're talking about without having our all-pro in Brandon Brooks. Mm-hmm. We're talking about without our all-pro. Mm-hmm. And Brandon Brooks, you want to season a whole season without giving up a sack. So even with that, man, you see our guys really getting out, really getting after it, man. And we really, where COVID did hurt Washington, is that as the quarters went on, our big guys kept leaning on those, their big guys, man, and they wore down. Mm-hmm. They wore down, and we were really pushing them. You've seen those big runs from Sanders and Howard in that second half. That was because, man, our front line, who was built to run. They are built to run. They're not a great – Lane Johnson's a good right tackle. I think Mailata has a lot of learning to do as a pass blocking left tackle. I think something he hasn't done his whole life, you know, as being the big kid on the team. He's still learning there. So that's my only thing. And yeah. I think they did really well, man. And I think, yeah, man, kudos. Kudos to the line. And the game definitely shouldn't have been that close were running it. So that shows what the defensive struggles that we're having.
Your time of possession, you look at it right here, it was 24-43, which is still, that to me even makes me mad, to a team that is that we were playing in. If you watch the game, you saw how bad Washington is right now with all these players missing. But the Eagles, one time of possession, 35 minutes, and that's great. At 23 first downs to 14, it was a really good, dominant performance from the offense. But Gannon is determined that he's convinced that this bend but don't break works, and it's all it is prevent, and prevent doesn't do anything but prevent you from winning. That's the big thing that's always been said about the prevent defense, and you don't have to run a prevent defense all game. That's for the end of the half when you know you don't want to give up a big play. Why? I don't know. And I've seen it all over the league. I've seen guys using this zone defense, and it's just bad. The soft zone is a gimmick. It is an analytical thing, which I can't stand. And it's going to ruin the Eagles if it keeps going on this way. But this day, it worked out. What upsets me, though, is that they gave up only 17 points, so then they'll hang that, just like when Schwartz was here. Look, you only gave up 17 points, yes, but when we play against a really good opponent, that's when we get beat down. Like when Vegas, who's not even a really good opponent, you know, hangs 34 or 31 on us for over 300 yards, that's not going to fly. So we'll see how it goes. But we did win. And that's great, and we didn't get any help from the Bears against the the Vikings. But so the Vikings have that third spot that we want. But the Eagles now have jumped over the Washington football team into that fourth spot with just the three games left to go, which is really key going forward. We, you know, we said a few weeks ago, if they win out, you know, they're definitely going to be in. And I still believe that, because if you look at what Minnesota has going forward, they don't have an easy run of it. They got to play the Rams next. Granted, it's in Minnesota, but that's going to be a hard take for Minnesota to win that game. Then they got to play at Green Bay. Green Bay is trying to get this home field advantage locked down. They're not going to take it lightly on Minnesota. And then they got to play at home against Chicago, which, you know, they just beat 17-9 on the road. So Chicago's kind of, you know, on the, so they might win that game. So you're looking at Minnesota could possibly be, you know, just the 8-9 if it comes down to it. So the Eagles really have to make it all count. And so this, you know, it's right now, it's right at their, it's all in their hands going forward. So we'll see what happens with the playoff situation. We can't really get too deep into it because we know we got three tough games going on ahead. So you just got to go on to the next one, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at the next one. Before we do, just want to point out a quick stat that came out over Twitter. Jalen Hurts' 10 rushing TDs are the most by an Eagles quarterback in a season. Isn't that crazy? When you think of guys that we had, Randall Cunningham and Donovan McNabb, and his 10 rushing TDs are the most by an Eagles quarterback in the season. Blows me away.
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. We never had a quarterback with this many designated runs. So
true, true.
That's a big difference.
Yeah, I think with Cunningham and McNabb, both those guys were great athletes that could run, but they were always tried to be put in these quarterback drop back offenses and try to make them fit in that. And usually that's what they were.
They were all pass first. Yeah. I mean, McNabb didn't run the ball that much in college. He was a passer.
No. He did the first couple of years in the league and then it all tapered off, and then he became strictly a passer. But anyway,
I think when he gained weight, he couldn't run anymore, and he had to be forced.
I don't think he got
some
fat
of those injuries.
I think he got bulked up though. He was just all muscle toward the end. Well, before he went off to Washington. Mm-hmm. But Miles Sanders is also the first Eagle with 100-plus rushing yards in consecutive games since Shady McCoy in 2014, which is crazy. And Dallas Goedert is the first Eagles tight end with 100-plus yards in back-to-back games since Zach Ertz in 2018. So the guys are having a good season offensively. If we come together as a defense and can put everything together, this could be a really good season. And we'll talk about it in your keys to victory against the Giants, but the way this team is running the football, you could put them up against a lot of teams in the league if they can continue, because teams know they're going to run at them. This is 7 straight games now. You know what the Eagles are about right now. So you know what you're preparing for, yet we're still blowing them off the ball. But before we get into the Giants preview, it's time for one of my favorite segments. It is...
Hell to the no, to the no, 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 no. Hell no, no, to the no, no.
So this is a meme that came up. This is for our health of the nah. It shows Sirianni after the Jalen Hurts fumble, and he's yelling at Jalen pretty good. And this is something that's interesting to me, is the fact that we talked about their relationship early in the season. Jalen responded to this more positively than negatively. Early in the season, he wasn't having any of this stuff. But Sirianni even said afterwards, I think that he responds to tough coaching. That's how his dad coached him, and that's how if I need to do that, that's what we're going to do. But the meme basically says, don't make me bench you for the mustache man. Don't tempt me. So, I mean, just after that fumble, that's how a lot of people felt, was like, oh, dude.
You know, there's a lot here in this meme. First, this meme will show you that no matter how well Jalen Hurts performed, people will still sit down and think about Gardner Minshew. Another thing this shows you is that, you know, Gardner Minshew has become the use me if you want to surreptitiously hate on Jalen Hurts. Use me as that button. Because I know the Eagles fans after that performance last night can't be serious about wanting Gardner Minshew to start over Hurts. So I think Minshew now is kind of like I said, he's the shield. He's the use me if you want to talk bad about Hurts, but he had a good game, use me. Because how could a person even think about Gardner Minshew after a performance that Jalen Hurts had? It just shows so much to it. Two, it shows how immature Nick Sirianni is. that bullshit press conference about coaching them hard. Look, that's a grown ass man. It was 7 minutes left in the first quarter, and you're on your quarterback like that. That was a rookie. I don't think you see any head coach really do that. Any veteran head coach. It's the second drive. Second drive of the game. You have a fumble. It was a fumble. You have strip fumbles all the time. It's no different than standing in the pocket and getting stripped. It doesn't matter how it happened. It happened. It's 7 minutes left. So I really felt like when I saw Nick Sirianni do that, was that, man, you're risking him shutting down. Because if I'm a guy sitting here on my couch saying, oh, it's just a rusty play. You heard the same thing from Jimmy Johnson, Super Bowl winning head coach at halftime. The first thing Jimmy Johnson said, what do you think about the Eagles? Well, I think they had a little rust at first. First phrase out of his mouth, rust. Mark Sanchez, right after I texted you, rust. Now they broke the rust off. So it just shows, man, that no matter what Hurts do, Gardner Minshew beats the Jets. We have Jesus memes, him hugging his father, and we have Shady McCoy throwing more shade on Hurts to kind of bury him even more.
Right.
But still Hurts rise.
Yeah, no, and I think when that happened, it was still Hurts hadn't shown anything on the field since before the Giant game. So we're going back weeks now. Because it was 10 days after we played. I get it. Hear me out.
It doesn't matter.
Hear me out. Mm-hmm. 10 days since we played the Jets and Minshew got the win. And then the Giant game. So we're talking weeks since Hurts had a great performance. Granted, he hasn't been on the field much because we had the bye week and then the COVID delay. So it's this fear that gets in. And I'll admit, as soon as he fumbled the ball and we're down 10-0, my instinct was not necessarily go to Minshew, but I was like, this sucks. What is going on? So I don't. The meme is just, it's to me, it's a comedy thing.
Where's There's the Goddard no, two drop meme is my point.
I
People
get
can
you.
Still think about Jalen Hurts after that performance. And Minshew is just a way of shit on Jalen Hurts at any cost. You. He has a good game. We still shit on him. We will find a way and we can still get that energy. This is the energy that I speak of. It's bigger than the meme. It's the energy that Hurts constantly has to deal with. After that performance, you take that. The interception away, the quarterback rating of 125.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's crazy, man. Yeah. And I will stand fast that Jalen Hurts' best success will come outside of Philadelphia because there's a lot of deeper issues with the guard. It's the Carson Wentz breakup, man.
Well,
it's
you know, Carson Wentz breakup could be an Eagle management thing. You know, it we'll see where it goes from here. It really, I think that the fans need to learn to trust him. That they need to learn to trust him, and trust is a very hard thing to earn in Philadelphia. You have one bad outing, and they're ready to hang you up. We saw what it did to Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz was going to be the heir apparent, the next savior, and then Nick Foles wins the Super Bowl, and then you got people, which drove me crazy, saying that we should keep Foles over Wentz. And I was like, "What? We know what we got in Foles, and granted, he won a Super Bowl, but that doesn't mean he should have been our next quarterback. So it's happening all over again. But with this performance against Washington, not so much. I think Hurts is really, the performance against Washington was great. What we have now, is another chance at redemption, because this is where Hurts can really solidify himself, is by coming out against a team that beat him a couple of weeks ago and put a ass whipping on him. I mean, seriously, that's what we got to do against this Giant team. We don't have any Daniel Jones anymore, so we know that he has been put on the shelf for the rest of the season because they're just done with him. They don't want to get him any further injured, so why even rush him back out there in this bad season? But so we don't know who was going to really play for them, but we're going to talk about it right now. So I'm going to turn it over to Tubby with the keys to victory against the New York Giants.
I mean, 175 yards per game the last seven games. Keep running the ball. I'm going to keep this up here. And until we stop running the ball successfully, our keys to victory, as it has been, if we've won the last, I think, what, 4 out of 5 games or 5 out of 7 games, it's been from running the ball. So continue to run the ball against this Giants offense, and I think we'll be okay. We'll move them just like we did before. We just had a lot of mistakes that last game. It doesn't matter if they're playing Glennon or Fromm. This will be Fromm, I think, first start. But just like Gilbert, man, no soft coverages. We make every quarterback comfortable. Every quarterback look like they're going to have a Pro Bowl game against us. Everybody can just walk in and put up like 100, 200 yards. Like it's nothing. You got guys, you know, that are, I don't know, anybody can come in and seem like they can get a couple hundred yards off. It's like, we don't change our scheme. You know what I'm saying? We don't change our scheme. Anybody like Carson Wentz that can go 5 for 12 or 57 yards and still get the win, we need to do that. So mm-hmm. You can do that to veteran quarterbacks. Why can't you do that to rookie quarterbacks or quarterbacks that haven't played that much? Mike Glennon has played really, really bad over the past couple weeks. So I hope he plays, and if Fromm plays, this will be his first start. That always could be dangerous. Maybe he can have that first start luck or that spark, because I think a lot of their wide receivers are back, like Galladay, Shepard, and I think the rookie Tony may be back. And, you know, you always have Evan Engram just hanging around out there. He's still a dynamic player. And, you know, like I talked about earlier with Hurts, you know, same play calls. Right? I want the same scheme, hurt ankle or not. I want the same scheme that you ran against Washington, same play call. Quarterback sneaks when we need him, like we've been wanting to use him for most of the year. And I think you're really going to see what we can have going out, because, you know, all these games are division games. They're tough games. And I think you keep the play call consistent. Don't now go out against the Giants. You want to run Hurts 15 times on designated runs, and we're wondering why we're not having the same level of success. So I think, man, that's how we can get at the Giants, man, and really get this much needed win. It's going to be another knee knocker, man, because it's another team that we should beat. You know, all right. Of a sudden, you know, for such a young team, there's a lot of high expectations in Philadelphia with an all rookie cast. So you look at that line, that score line, -10.
Eagles right now are favored by 10 at home against the Giants, a team that just beat them 13-7 in MetLife Stadium just a few weeks ago. I do think the team going into the Washington game, they have rallied around them, each other, coaching staff aside. I heard about a speech Rodney McLeod gave before the game talking about this is the time to step up, that the entire rest of the NFL is looking at Philadelphia right now, seeing what kind of team they are, because they don't really know. I think the Giant game, they were on a roll until the Giant game, and it really derailed things briefly. It made people question, because everybody knows the Giants are a bad team. So why is this Eagle team, who's blowing people out, all of a sudden hit a bump in the road, going on the road? And I think it was just a bad game. Teams have bad games. Cowboys had a bad game a few weeks ago. And you know, now everybody's still talking about how they're Super Bowl favorites again all of a sudden, when they were looking like crap just a couple of weeks ago. So people have bad games. Hurts is going to have
Tampa Bay didn't even score against a team that Jalen Hurts destroyed.
Exactly. Great point.
Destroyed.
What was it? 9-0. New Orleans beat Tampa Bay.
Same defense that Jalen Hurts went up against in the Saints. Yeah. He blows him out the water. Brady had a terrible game. He had Rob Gronkowski, couldn't hit him.
Yeah. And so what I'm saying, I know that Mike Evans went out and Godwin is out for the season. Yeah. Fournette went out. I get it. But are we saying that the Tampa Bay is all of a sudden a bad team now? That's what we said about the Eagles as soon as they lost to the Giants. We didn't give them any credit. Granted, the Tampa Bay's record is a little bit better than ours, but still, it looked bad that the Eagles lose to the Giant team. So this is important from the standpoint of, hey, we righted the ship against the Jets. We went back further now, even after we got delayed by COVID and beat the Washington football team. And now this is time for redemption. Whether they win by 10 or not, just win. Get out there and win. And then you're solidified. Then you're over 500 for the first time since the beginning of the season, which is crazy. So we'll see how it goes. I love this meme here. We were talking about the rushing yards for the Eagles, and it's a meme where they take the Parks and Recreation Aziz Ansari, and he's looking at the stat. Mm-hmm. 175 rushing yards in 7 consecutive games. The first team since the 85 Bears to do that, and we know what good team that was. And it's just got Aziz Ansari saying it's beautiful. I've looked at this for 5 hours now. Yeah, it's true, because it's one thing that this season has really showed is that their running game, even when Miles Sanders goes out for a while, has still been dominant with Howard. And now you've got Howard and Sanders. If we can keep these guys healthy the rest of the season, it's really going to make a difference. And look at these stats. This is just the last 7 games. You see 236 rushing yards against the Lions, 176 against the Chargers, 214 against the Broncos, 242 against the Saints, 208 against the Giants in a loss, and then 185 against the Jets, and then 238 against Washington. So, yeah, you got to love what we're doing, and it takes the pressure off of Hurts. to do that and still have Hurts almost throw for 300 yards is incredible. So that just shows you what we've got in the offensive side of the ball. If you match that up with a good defensive performance, it sky could be the limit. Briefly, let's take a look at the injury report. On the Eagles side, we've got, this is starting to really frustrate me. Brandon Brooks, expected return week 16. I'm going to put expected return question mark because it's supposed to be every week he's supposed to be back, and he hasn't been. I will say this, Nate Herbig is a better right guard than he is a center because he was pushing some people in the run game that I noticed. I was like, who is that? And then I looked at, that's Herbig out there shoving guys around?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And Opetta too. So without Dickerson and without Dickerson and Dillard, we're still playing really good ball with Opetta and Herbig in there and Kelsey and Mailata and Johnson, like we talked about before. Again, we got Dillard and Dickerson on COVID. They may even come off, you know how this thing works. If they get a positive test, boom, they're in. And then our backup defensive back, Nathan Metters, is out for the game against John. Not that big a deal. So on our side of the ball, not too bad. If we got Brooks back, it would just be a benefit. It'd be insane. On the Giants side, they've got Sterling Shepard's on injured reserve, so we won't see him in this game. Daniel Jones. He's on injured reserve. Daniel Jones, of course, out, like we mentioned. And then a couple other guys. One of their offensive guards is questionable. Ben Breedson and then Keon Crossan, their defensive back, on the COVID list. But if you look at their list, it's on the CBS right now on the injury report. That's where I look at. A bunch of guys on the COVID list for them. And like we talked about their rookie, Tony, might miss this game. He played pretty well against the Eagles the first go round. So it's a matter of, I didn't want to put all that up there because it could change from week to week. And by Sunday, who knows what's going to happen. So I didn't even bother with putting that in there. So it could go anyway. Right now, these are the definites that we know about going into that game against the Giants. So it's going to be, you could break down even further stats. We could go in depth on it. It really doesn't matter. We know the Giants are decimated. They're a lot weaker than we played them a few weeks ago. They are definitely much weaker right now. And I think that they're kind of hanging their heads now. Back then, they had a little bit of glimmer of hope that maybe they had some division games if they won them. And now I don't think they have that hope anymore. So I think that this is a game that the Giants could, just really just show up for and not really be interested in. Or who knows? Who knows? Like you said, first start, Gannon plays soft defense. We could end up for a long day. So what's your point prediction? What's your game prediction for the Giant game?
Oh, man, I think we can go 30-10 on this. It's still the NFL. Teams are still professional athletes. They can always score. I think 30-10 is going to be the score line. Eagles, I think we should handle this team. I think we know what we do well. And I think as long as we go out there and just don't try anything cute, I think we'll be okay. I think really – with the offense, we understand we're a running team. So I think if we can control that line in scrimmage, control the clock, continue to hang some points on. They may get a few points later on in the game, maybe some garbage points. But I got the Eagles, man, 30-10 in this one. What about you?
I think it's going to be similar to the Washington game. I think that I don't know. The Eagles don't seem to come out with a lot of fast starts, but they tend to finish strong. So I think that it could be another 27-17. I think it's going to be if I'm in the picks game where I have to make a pick, I'm going to take the underdog. I'm going to take the points, but only because of Gannon. If they were playing lights out defense and I knew they weren't going to give up garbage time touchdowns, because I think that's what it's going to be. I think the Eagles could very well be up 30-10 and then give up two late touchdowns at the end of the game because they're playing run out the clock. I still think they win it kind of comfortably, but I just see after watching Washington get let back in the game, I have a hard time trusting Gannon going forward. And it's just the points. If it were like 4.5, I'd take the Eagles for sure, like it was against the football team. But yeah, it's a tough one.
You know what you don't see?
What's
you
that?
Don't see in our defensive scheme, just talking about our defensive scheme for a second, what you don't see corner blitzes. You don't see Slay getting sacks. You don't see Nelson getting sacks. It's something about our like you said, it's been the thing. It's a popular thing to do is to play the zone coverage. But that's just weird to me, man. You have athletes like Slay and Nelson, and you won't send them.
Right.
We play every quarterback as if we're going to get beat deep. We play every quarterback like they can throw the ball 50 yards on a tight spiral. It's so crazy how we play every team, man. So I want to see things like that, man. Shout out to TJ Edwards. I think he has been a bright spot for us this year, moving on from Wilson. and getting Edwards in. I think, you know, a bright spot for the defense is Edwards, and we did sign him to a contract. So shout out to Edwards. I think he has been our our unsung hero a little bit this year. He's coming. He's played really well. He's played really well from that punt block to Carolina when he was on the bench to him just playing really well and effective. That block he had on T.J. Edwards for the first down. I'm sorry, T.J. Edwards had that knockdown when McLaurin sit in the pocket. He makes the dive. That was for a first down right there. So just he's coming into himself, man. On that defense, man. Really looking forward to how he plays in the future for us, man. Just throw that out there.
I agree.
Some corner blitzes from Nelson and Slay.
I agree. You know, we see Maddox occasionally with a blitz, but it's very rare. And that game against Washington, we saw a couple of five-man blitzes, never more than five, and it was usually from the linebacker spot. And the problem was that Gilbert was still getting time. So they were getting penetration. It was just the fact that Gilbert would have enough time to find somebody open because everybody's open 10 yards down the field. So he was just throwing up ducks, and guys were coming down with it to extend drives. That was frustrating to me. But you're right about Edwards. I think because of Edwards' play, I think Singleton's played better. I think Bradley's played better. Not great. Not to his level, for sure. But everybody plays with a little bit more intensity. And you saw, like, McLeod going after that tip screen pass when he almost got the ball and hit the ground. That's the kind of intensity that the whole defense is starting to show. I just wish this game was a little bit better. We'll see going forward. I think that if we had the right defensive scheme, this team could be a title contender, without a doubt in my mind. It's that scheme that's killing me, and we've talked about it all year, and I think it's what's going to be the downfall of this team if they don't change, but we'll see how it goes. Coming up, the upcoming games, this is it after the Giants game. On January 2nd, we get a rematch at Washington, so I'm sure they're going to want to get some. They'll probably have a lot of guys back, and they're going to want revenge for what the Eagles put on them in Philly, and that's going to be huge because that's going to have playoff implications for sure. And then on January 9th, it all wraps up at the Link with the Cowboys coming to town, and now the Eagles want some revenge for that early season loss. We don't know where the Cowboys are going to be at this game. It's the last game of the season. It could be very well for their home field advantage. We don't know. They're one game out right now of home field advantage. So we'll just have to see. There's a lot coming up, so it's going to be a lot of fun, I think, in the next few games. Next, what we're going to hit into is some consolation for my boy, Tubby. He had his fantasy football quarterfinals this week, and man, missed out by 8 points against A. Will, lost in your playoffs. Sorry about that, dude.
Yeah, it's all good, man. I had a bad matchup. Anytime your quarterback is playing, somebody where your quarterback is going up against their number one receiver, but Kelce, basically, I have Mahomes. Look at the game that Kelce had.
Right.
Man, I was gutted, man. Really, man. You know, it came down to a few key mistakes, man. Starting Michael Carter off the IR, Michael Pittman getting ejected. But even before that, he had five throws. And I mean, Carson Wentz threw the worst five balls I've ever seen to Michael Pittman. I think he was frustrated. I mean, he literally had five targets in like the first quarter, and they were all just behind them, all just terrible throws, man. I think that's why they just, and then that Jonathan Taylor game clinching run right at the end. Man, I got killed in the last 2 minutes, man. That Jonathan Taylor, like 67 yard, he broke off a 67 yarder with like 2 minutes to go in that game. And then you have Kelce catching a touchdown with a minute to go in the fourth quarter and then catching another one in overtime. Crazy. You know, so I just fantasy football, it is what it is. You can second guess a lot, but left it all out there, man. So hey, good luck to everybody else left in the team. And while we're on our fantasy football, you know, we lost a member of not only our fantasy football team, but a real life friend in William Irby. So shout out to Irby and his family, man. Rest in peace, man. We lost a good brother, man. So we lost, we lost a good friend, man. Lost a good friend.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, no. It should be said. I mean, he's a part of our fantasy football league. Longtime friend. Herb, always knew him for having the biggest infectious smile that you would ever see on somebody.
Oh, yeah.
You never saw him upset with anyone. He was always in a good mood. He was a hard worker, man. People just loved working with him. And we were all in the Air Force together. And he had a really big health scare a few years ago when he had to have a heart transplant. And we thought we were going to lose him then. And he recovered. And he did so well. I mean, he had a wife and two beautiful twin girls and an older son. teenage boy, and Phil, we our hearts got to go out to them right now because they're hurting. They lost a great man, and I'm going to miss our conversations that we've had. I still would chat with him because he's from the Ohio area, and that's where I'm living now. And we always talked about going to see a Bengal game together when he when he came back around home, and lost to COVID, and it's just a shame. You never know. So yeah, it's pretty sad. I'll put up the they have a GoFundMe for the family. I'm going to put that on our Facebook page.
Okay.
So that if anybody wants to go there and leave a donation for the family, they sure could use it because he was a key part of that family. I mean, and now they've got a big hole and they need all your help. So yeah, we're going to miss him quite a bit. But yeah, going forward on the fantasy, you've got your brother Marine Raiders, who's number one seed, going up against the four seed, and you got the two seed Outcast versus White Rhinos and third seed. So yeah, it's you got 1, 2, 3, 4 there in the finals. On a side note, I did make my next round of the playoffs in my other league. So I sucked in this one. And I play one of my really good friends from when I was stationed in Lodges, Shannon Standridge, in the next round to get to the finals. So that's going to be fun. It's all good friends, you know, so I don't mind losing to a friend. Somebody I don't like. I don't
want to lose. Who wants to lose?
But I beat a guy this week that had traded me I traded Tyler Lockett for him for like Montgomery earlier in the season. So I had Lockett, but neither one played that day. So it didn't affect anything. So I was like, oh, well. Okay. And now into our pick segment. This is the final segment of the week where we talk about the picks game that we run against the spread. And I finally, after I think 5 weeks of just mediocre 500 picking, a little bit sub 500 picking, had lost some points. I went plus 50 in the points. You get 10 points for correct, minus 10 for incorrect. I went 10-6. On my NFL picks this week, and I had the Eagles as my lock. I changed it. Once I said about the spread, we had locked in the spread at 4.5. And once that spread got all the way up to 10, I'm like, I got to take the Eagles as a lock. They're definitely going to cover 4.5. And they did. They barely. It was 20-17. I was biting the fingernails before that Greg Ward touchdown. So I'm sitting at 120 overall, and Tim Case has fallen down to the second spot. He was the leader last week. Darren Muir sitting there at number 3 with 40 points, and then we've got a tie for 4th with Zach Adamson and CJ Clark, and then Dustin Schmidt, a former leader, has dropped all the way down to 6th spot. So, and if you look past that, there's a lot of people that are still in this. Plus the fact that we pick all the bowl games, it could be anybody's game going into this final stretch run of the NFL and the bowl season. Enjoying the bowls this week, this year, by the way. I don't know why. I've been watching them more and more, even the crappy ones. Watched a really good game.
Caught any of them.
I watched the Wyoming and Kent State game the other day, and that was a barn burner, man. They were just, it was all offense. I love those when it's a bowl game. And then San Diego State and University of Texas San Antonio, their first bowl, I think it was UTSA, and they were favored by 2.5, but I had San Diego State, and man, again, another barn burner, back and forth offense. Really? So yeah, I'm loving it right now. And tonight, I think Army is playing Missouri, so I'm going to probably watch that after our podcast. But before I do that, let me give you my picks for week 16 against the spread. Again, hoping that I keep it rolling as we go into these final few weeks of the season. First of all, we got the Thursday night game. It is San Francisco on the road at Tennessee. I got to take Tennessee at home, getting 3.5 points in this one. We'll see how it goes. Who knows at this point of the season? These are all really tough spreads, by the way. I had a really hard time making these picks this morning. Green Bay is at home, giving 7 to Cleveland. This was not that hard a pick to make because Cleveland has got a lot of people on COVID. Baker Mayfield didn't play last week, probably will play this week, but it's still, they're a team that's really in turmoil right now. So got to go with Green Bay at home, given 7 points. After that, and these are both on Saturday, the Green Bay, Cleveland, and Arizona, Indianapolis is Saturday as well. Arizona at home coming off a tough loss to the Detroit Lions of all teams. I mean, Detroit, where are they coming from all of a sudden? But we have said.
Let me pause you here.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
I was just saying.
I think you were about to say it.
We have said all year they played everybody tough except the Eagles. The Eagles blew them out. Everybody else has played tough. So Arizona's given 1 point to Indianapolis. I'd look at them to bounce back at home. I don't see how they can't. That's a gut. If they don't come back from this, then it's going to be tough for Arizona going forward because everybody's just going to make fun of them. Anyway, Philadelphia is at home. Like we mentioned, it's our game, given 10 points to the Giants. I think they win by 9. I'm going to take the Giants getting the 10. We'll see. I may regret that pick, but it's part of me just like going, I don't want to jinx the Eagles by getting too cocky and giving 10 points. After that, we got Atlanta at home giving 6 to Detroit. The whole reason I'm taking Detroit is because, like we mentioned, they play everybody tough except the Eagles. So I think that maybe they go in into Atlanta. Atlanta is one of those teams that they could, I mean, they could win, but I don't know if they'll win by 6. After that, we got Cincinnati at home. I'm telling you what, since Lamar Jackson has gone out, and I know they lost to Green Bay, mm-hmm. Baltimore's been playing better football.
They have, man. They've been balling with Huntley, man.
Yeah, yeah. Huntley is and now there's a quarterback controversy in Baltimore, if you ask me, because I think Huntley's been out playing him. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
What year is Huntley in? And where was he before? I think
he played for Utah. And was signed as the Ravens as an undrafted free agent following the conclusion of the 2020 draft. So Huntley was in Utah. So yeah, he's an undrafted free agent, and he's playing right now the starter. Now, granted, we don't know what's going on with Lamar Jackson too, because before he went through these struggles, he was having a really good season, and all of a sudden things just started to fall off, and then he got injured. Huntley comes in, and he's been playing lights out.
Yeah. While we're here, same thing that Judge said when they asked Judge, are you going to play Fromm or Glennon this week against the Eagles? And he said, well, it's a big difference between, you know, I know he started that game, but he's like, it's a big difference from basically when a team doesn't plan for you, or if you're coming in at the end of the game or you have these little sparks. It's not uncommon,
right,
in the NFL to see a backup quarterback this late in the season, particularly because a lot of these guys are beat up, man. That was week 15. These guys don't even. Normally this is the week before, you know, and you know, we have 3 more weeks this year. I mean, not 3 more weeks, but we have 1 more week this year, 4 more to go. And a lot of these guys are beat up, man. They are beat up.
Right.
So you have no tape on Huntley. It's nothing to really scout him on. He had a lot of good improv plays, man. He's playing really well. What do you think about that call at the end of the game?
Are you talking about going for two?
Two.
It's right. The second time they've done it this year, and then they've not got it both times. Some people love it because Harbaugh is just saying, look, we're going to leave it on the field. But other people are like, look, if he kicks the extra point and goes to overtime, they might win that game. And so you're making it come down to one play. You know me. I can't stand it when the analytics guys get involved and say, hey, we should go for two or we should go for it on fourth. There is too much of that in the league right now. Too many teams are going for it on 4th and 5 sometimes down at the goal line. They could be on the 5-yard line at 4th down and they're going for it. I'm like, you got to be sensible at times. I think both times the Ravens, look where they could be had they kicked the extra point in both of those games. So, yeah, I'm. It's gutsy, but it's also stupid. And I do think Baltimore could have beat Green Bay had they kicked the extra point and took it to overtime, but we'll never know. They screwed it up. But this week, they're playing a Cincinnati team that is up and down, and I don't even know if they're a good team or just an average team. Defense really has got to come and start stopping players. Burrow's playing adequate. Chase is playing really good, but we'll see. I got to take Baltimore getting 2.5 points, even though they're on the road in Cincinnati. I think it's hard for me to trust Cincinnati at this point. Rams are in Minnesota, like we mentioned earlier, giving 3 to the Vikings. I'm going to say the Rams win this on the road. I want them to win this on the road because it helps the Eagles out. And then after that, we got New England at home in a rematch of like the Wind Bowl, the Ice Bowl or whatever you want it, part two that they had in Buffalo a few weeks ago. New England's going to be at home for this one. Given 2.5 to Buffalo, I'm going to take New England again just to outplay Buffalo. Buffalo's tough right now because they were playing so well at the start of the season, and now they've just been on this slide. After that, we got the Toilet Bowl, as we like to call it every year, between the two of the worst teams. The Jets are at home, giving 2.5 to Jacksonville. I don't trust Jacksonville even without Urban Meyer. I'm not going to take Jacksonville in that game. I'm going to take the Jets, giving 2.5, but it's really, who cares? After that, we got Tampa Bay giving 10.5 to Carolina. Carolina's struggling of late. Cam Newton is struggling of late. But Tampa Bay only scoring 9 points in the Saints. Some people might say they're going to go into Carolina and just put a whooping on them. It's a division game.
They are.
Carolina, they probably will, but Carolina's getting 10.5. I got it with the division game, just like with the Eagles Giants. I got to take the 10 points and cross my fingers and hope that Carolina can hold on and maybe play for some pride. We'll see. Now, on the other side, we got the Chargers giving 9.5 to Houston at Houston. I think the Chargers with their high powered offense can cover that spread. So it's one of the few of the big spreads I'm taking. And then after that, we got Seattle given 6.5 to Chicago. Seattle, I can't trust. Chicago's got a great defense. I'm going to take the 6.5 points. Just take the underdog. It's my last underdog of the week. I was looking at my spread sheet, and I went, I don't have a lot of underdogs. Who are the underdogs that I think might cover this week or could cover? Because you can't go all favorites. You'll lose every right. time. So I had to Chicago. I had to put Chicago on that list. That's really legitimately why I picked them, because Seattle has not been playing great. They struggled against the Rams last night. They're coming off a short week. Chicago, you know, just lost a game, an important game at home to Minnesota for pride. So I think that Chicago can play this close in like a 13-10 type game. And even if they don't win, I want them to cover that 6.5. After that, we got Kansas City at home against Pittsburgh. Don't know what team Pittsburgh is right now, up and down. So I'm going to take Kansas City, who is really hot right now defensively and offensively. I'm going to give the 7.5 points to Pittsburgh. After that, Las Vegas at home, giving 1.5 to Denver. Looks like we're not going to see Teddy Bridgewater, so I'm gonna have to take the Raiders. I don't even they struggled against a really weak Browns, a decimated Browns team, you know, on Monday. So I had to take them. I didn't want to, but without Bridgewater, I don't know what we're gonna get in Denver. And then we got Dallas is giving 10.5 at home to Washington, and since the Eagles laid 10 points on Washington, I am gonna take Dallas at home, giving 10.5 to Washington. And I'm gonna make that my lock of the week. Because we don't really know what's going to happen with, and I actually think Dallas will play them more aggressively on defense than we did. Washington will be lucky to score 10 points against Dallas. Just my opinion, because I think they'll be more aggressive. I think Micah Parsons will be all over the field. Not that I like Dallas, not that I root for Dallas, but it is the lock of the week. And I hope this happens, because again, it helps the Eagles out going forward, because Dallas already got the division on lock. After that, the Monday night game, New Orleans at home, coming off the 9-0 win over Tampa Bay, giving 3 to Miami, which I'm surprised that it's not more than that, but New Orleans has been kind of spotty this year. So against my son who loves the Dolphins, I'm going to take New Orleans. It could go either way, but I think New Orleans, again, will probably make it 2 in a row and cover that spread at home. So that's the picks for Week 16. Now, one of the things that I haven't really talked about is that this is our last show before Christmas. So I didn't have any Christmas music ready, which I'm sorry, that's my bad. I shouldn't have done that. Yeah. But it is what it is. But any big things, plans for Christmas, staying home, family?
Yep, staying home, man. Just wife and kids just here. You know, had a big Thanksgiving, so we're just cooling out for Christmas, man. Yeah, mother-in-law's coming over, I believe. And yeah.
You get along with your mother-in-law?
Surf and turf. Yeah, cool, I mean. Yeah.
Not everybody does, you know.
It is what it is. You know, we stay out of each other's way.
That's good. That's good.
But now, man, having a little surf and turf, we're going to do like a prime rib or actually have a prime brisket I just smoked. We may do that with like, you know, some type of maybe do salmon or lobster or crab maybe, wow. or something like that. A little surf and turf this Christmas.
Nice.
For us. So, yeah, man, what about you?
That's why I miss having you living around where I live, because the food for the holidays and for the football games was always top notch. But yeah, yes, we actually are having Christmas here with two of my kids, and then we're gonna all drive down to Oklahoma City where my other son lives, and we're looking at filling his house up with a lot of people and dogs and cats, and and it's gonna be our first Christmas with both mom and dad and all kids together in the same place. Since like 2014, because we've all like military family, we get spread out. So I'm really looking forward to that. And so we're kind of doing it the day after Christmas. But so that brings me to think next week we will be doing another episode like this where we're going to combine the recap and the preview at the same time on Wednesday, just because of the situation, because I'll be broadcasting remotely from Oklahoma City. So that'll be a lot of fun. We'll see how that goes. Fingers crossed.
Welcome to my life.
I'll be out of my comfort zone. I won't be able to be like, I like my studio down here. So it's like one of those things where it's going to be fun. We'll see how we'll make it work. But
yes, sir.
That brings us to the end of another episode of the podcast. I think it was a good one. We talked about the Eagles having to deal with the COVID thing, getting delayed and coming off with a victory. And now we got the Giants coming up. It's the crunch time. 3 games left in the season. Let's go. Let's see if we can make this playoff push. So
yes, sir.
We want to thank everybody for joining us on the Where Eagles Dare podcast, whether you're on Facebook Live, YouTube, or Twitch. Thank you. If you're one of our podcast listeners on Spotify, Audible, Amazon Music, Apple Podcast, Spotify, I already said Spotify, Castro, Podcaster, there's so many, and I'm glad that we're on there. We thank you for listening to us on those. Our numbers are going up, and we really appreciate you guys. So always subscribe and like, and if you want to email us, You can just give us a shout out at our email address. That is lee.byrd, that's B-Y-R-D, eaglesdare@gmail.com. So Merry Christmas to everyone out there. And I'm going to turn it over to Tubby for our final words of the week.
Nah, man. Merry Christmas to everybody else. And as always, fly, Eagles, fly.
And go Birds. See you next week. Beat the Giants.